people need to sit down and listen to each other. We are given two ears and one mouth, I think, for a reason. We should do more listening than we do talking. And right now, there is an awful lot of time spent talking and not a lot spent listening. I think Governor Edgar made it fairly clear what needs to happen. A budget needs to be passed. You need to focus on a budget. Former Governor Edgar said those other agenda items the governor has are nice. They ought to be debated, but they shouldn't hold up a budget. You can't run state government without a budget in place. The governor says we need these reforms in order to attract more business to the state. But as I travel around the state and I talk with businesses frequently, no business ever told me they're withholding investment in Illinois until they get term limits. What they tell me is, you don't have a budget in place. We don't know what to expect. We can't make plans. That's what's stopping them from making investment in the state. And so I encourage the governor to argue on behalf of his personal wants, his agenda. But the first thing he should be doing is sitting down with the General Assembly, and they should all work on passing a balanced budget. Not a stopgap, not a bridge, but something for a full year. And at this point, they probably ought to look at the next year and a half and give business some certainty about what taxes are going to be and what bills we're going to be able to pay.
Would there be any benefit at this point when the legislature comes back here in the next 10 days, 2 weeks, for the Democratic majorities in both chambers just to get together, pass a budget, pass some kind of a tax increase to balance things and say, all right, Governor, here you go. Sign this or veto it, but here you go. We've done our part.
Yeah, I think that if the legislature could do something like that, that would be a good place to start. However, if the governor is sworn to veto these things, it's also somewhat an exercise in futility. So what we've seen in the past is governors and leaders coming together and working out the framework of an agreement going forward. You know, I sat down soon after I came in the state Senate. Sat down with former Governor Jim Thompson, and he talked about how they would hammer out deals and they would work things out. And it wouldn't always be perfect. You wouldn't get everything you wanted, but you know, the two sides could come together, and then they would go out and campaign against the other side. You know, now we've begun the campaigning before we actually finish the governing, and I just think that's putting the cart before the horse.
Some of the larger universities, University of Illinois, Illinois State, have been able to weather the uncertainty and lack of funding over this time, but there are universities that are really hurting right now. Chicago State's enrollment is down more than 30% from where it was a year ago. Eastern Illinois is down about 17%. With some of these universities hanging on right here, are we really in some danger of seeing an institution have to close its doors?
Oh, I think without a doubt. The only question is this an accident or is this a plan? I think there are people out there in government who would like to reduce the number of state universities. And I think that would be a real problem. We have a great university here in Champaign-Urbana, but it's part of a university system. And those other universities serve different needs and different students out there. And if we really do believe that to be successful in the 21st century, you have to have some sort of accreditation past high school. You know, everyone doesn't need a university four-year degree, but they probably need a community college or some sort of technical training. We need to make sure that system is strong from the top to the bottom. I mean, we see a lot of the problems here in Champaign-Urbana. The uncertainty has some professors looking to move elsewhere. But we see that at other universities and community colleges throughout the state. And I just think, the governor talks an awful lot about the future of our state. If you really care about our future, you need to be investing in higher education. It is an investment that pays phenomenal returns.
You know, one question I'm sure that you get a fair bit as the state treasurer. Obviously, Illinois has both a treasurer and a comptroller. But I think a lot of people probably still don't know exactly what the difference is between those two offices. If you could just briefly explain what things is the treasurer responsible for and what things are the comptroller responsible for.
Brian, you are very correct. This is one of the most common questions I get. If you think of it just very simply, the treasurer helps take in the money and invest the money while we have it. The comptroller holds the checkbook, actually writes the checks. The comptroller decides who's going to get paid. But in the treasurer's office, we know that as long as we're holding on to that money, we want to bring in more money to the state. So we want to invest that for as long a time as we can. We're a revenue-generating office in the treasurer's office. We bring in about $28 to the state for every dollar we spend. And I tell my staff this is the most important part of our job, because we know that every dollar we're able to bring in is a dollar the General Assembly and the governor don't need to raise in taxes, or a dollar they don't need to make in painful cuts to things like education or higher education.
There has been talk over the years from time to time about combining the Treasurer's Office with the Comptroller's Office. What are your thoughts on that particular issue? Any particular reasons for or against that idea?
I think it's something we should do. I'm supportive of. I think some of the opponents say you need to have strong internal controls in place. We segregate the responsibilities between these offices, and I agree with them. You need strong internal controls, but I don't think you necessarily need to have two distinct offices. Some of the incompatible responsibilities can be delegated to the governor's office, or the Secretary of State's office, or the Auditor General's office. You can reduce some of the overhead by having two elected officials, combine them into one, but still maintain those controls that are so important to prevent fraud or abuse.
Treasurer, before we let you go here today, any New Year's resolutions for your office here in 2017?
Well, we have some very exciting news coming up in 2017. We talked a lot about our college savings accounts. We're continuing to make some changes there to improve our Bright Start program. But we're also unveiling a new program called ABLE Accounts. These are for parents with children with a disability or a blindness that allow them to save for their kids' future in a similar way that parents do save for their kids' college education. You put money aside, you invest it. As long as it's used for a disability-related expense, that growth is tax-free. Now, we decided we could do that ourselves, or we could work with other states and ensure lower fees that families are paying. So we'll be making that announcement within the next month. People ask me all the time, what do you think about your job? And when I tell them I love it, they frequently will laugh or they'll roll their eyes. And I tell them, no, there's dysfunction in Springfield. But our office is a constitutional office. I don't need the General Assembly to take some of these fights, to fight on behalf of consumers, to make enhancements to our programs that allow people to save and invest for their future. And it's an exciting job to come into every day.